Greetings, everyone. This is Fred Colter. Welcome to Church at Home. Church at Home is sponsored by the Christian Biblical Church of God, and we are dedicated to restoring original Christianity for today because the Christianity of this world is not truly Christian. They may use the Bible, they may read from the Bible, but when it comes down to loving God and keeping His commandments, they fail miserably. And we have seen in the last segment why Catholic churches failed. And in this fourth segment, we're going to continue right on with the story of the Sabbath in the book of Exodus to show almost a prophetic action by Aaron, who was to be the high priest, and he was, and the people. Because you see, as the Apostle Paul wrote, he said, "If I please men, I shall not please God." Because we have to love God, keep His commandments, obey His word. And that's why we have the whole Bible. And if you don't have the Holy Bible in its original order, you go online and order it. You can even download the whole version onto your smartphone. And we have the audio of it too. It's all right there. So let's come back here to Exodus 32. Now, this is what happened while Moses was up on the mountain receiving all the statutes, all the ordinances, all the lesser laws that God wanted the people to follow. And then he gave, as we saw last time, that they were to keep the Sabbaths, weekly and annual, for a perpetual covenant. That's in addition to the covenant that God made with Israel. That's for all the people of God, regardless of who they are, regardless of whether it was before Christ or after Christ, keeping the Sabbath is perpetual. Now, children of Israel didn't know what happened to Moses because, you know, when they saw God speaking up on top of the mountain and the fire and the smoke and everything, they didn't know. They thought, well, maybe Moses got up there a little too close to the edge of the volcano and fell down in and was burned up. So, hey, we don't know what happened to him. So, here's what happened. Verse 1, Exodus 22. "Make us gods which shall go before us, for this Moses, the man that brought us out of the land of Egypt, we do not know what has become of him." And Aaron said to them, "Break off the golden earrings which are in your ears of your wives, of your sons, of your daughters, and bring them to me." And all the people broke off the golden earrings which were in their ears and brought them to Aaron. And he took them from their hand and fashioned it with an engraving tool, and made a golden calf. And you know what the Egyptian golden calf is like? It has a round disc between the two horns, representing the sun god. What day is the sun god's day? Sunday. Who are Christians worshiping unknowingly? You need the book, The Two Babylons, by Alexander Hislop, so you understand how absolutely, thoroughly corrupted the Roman Catholic Church is and likewise Protestantism, because they never truly came all the way out from Rome. Why do we know that? Because they keep Sunday, the day that Constantine introduced, not God. And they said, "These are your gods, O Israel, who brought you up out of the land of Egypt." And when Aaron saw the calf, he built an altar for it, and Aaron made a proclamation, "Tomorrow is a feast to the Lord." Now, stop right here and think. Can anyone proclaim a day of worship to God, and it becomes something that should be right and good? No, they cannot. This is exactly what the Roman Catholics have done. Feast to the Lord. And they rose up early the next morning and offered burnt offerings and brought peace offerings, and the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. In other words, they had a big orgy out there before the golden calf. And so then God told Moses, get down there. Moses came down, and he was so angry at what Aaron had done, the one to be the high priest for the children of Israel, to be the go-between the people and God, had made a golden calf and told the people to worship it. Then Moses stood in the gate of the camp and said, "Who is on the Lord's side? Come to me." And all the sons of Levi gathered themselves to him. And he said to them, "Thus says the Lord God of Israel, each man put his sword by his side, and go in and out from gate to gate throughout the camp, and kill each one his brother, and each one his companion, and each one his neighbor." And the sons of Levi did according to the word of Moses, and there fell of the people that day about 3,000 men. Question. What is the wages of sin? Death. Now, it doesn't mean it's going to come instant. But for them, it came very shortly after they had their transgression, right? Yes, indeed. Doesn't that tell us how important the Sabbath is? So this is where the Roman Catholic Church has completely gone off the rails of the Bible. They don't represent God. Their traditions are traditions of men. And what they teach is based upon human reasoning and philosophy and not on the Word of God, though they read some of the Word of God to make it look like they're of God. But if you don't keep the commandments of God, you're not of God. Now, let's come back here to Exodus 20. And let's finish the fourth commandment. Then we'll look at another one that they change too. Verse 8. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shall you labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord your God. In it you shall not do any work, you nor your son, nor your daughter, nor your manservant, nor your maidservant, nor your livestock, nor the stranger within your gates. For in 6 days the Lord made the heaven and the earth and the sea and all that is in them. When people keep the Sabbath, they do not believe in evolution, because they know that God is creator. Now, we have a brand new booklet for you, Geology Catastrophism, and we have it on CD for you. You can email us. You can write us. We will send it to you at no cost. God or no God, too many people believe in evolution, and they're atheists. That makes them the enemies of God. Now, they may not realize they're the enemies of God, but they are. Now, if there are any doubts in your mind about the credibility of the Bible, right, for this one, we send these three out together. How credible is the Bible? And you can prove that it is inspired of God. Because in this booklet, it will tell you how God has dealt with the great empires of this world and what he did, and it came to pass exactly as he said. However, sometimes over a period of centuries. Now, that being the case, what does that tell us? That tells us that God carries out fulfilling his prophecies, doesn't it? Yes. All right, now let's look at another one. Let's come to commandment number 5 in the catechism, you shall not kill. But that is actually commandment number 6 in the Bible, and it's different. Let's read it. Verse 13, you shall not murder. Doesn't say kill, because God enforced the death penalty for those who committed sins and crimes worthy of death. And he gave that authority to every sovereign nation. But the Catholics perpetuate, you shouldn't kill any of them.
Governor Andrew Cuomo of New York says he will now introduce a bill to remove the death penalty from state law. Cuomo remains a strong supporter of abortion. Nebraska is also wrestling with the issue. Its bishops are calling on the state to halt an upcoming execution, cited yesterday's announcement by the Vatican. In a statement, they write, simply put, the death penalty is no longer needed or morally justified in Nebraska.
And so what is it it cost the society today? Prison. Full of lifers. They have committed crimes worthy of death. God says, execute them.
Il quinto comandamento del Decalogo dice non uccidere.
He didn't say, you shall not kill. He said, you shall not murder. And then the rest of the commandments, you come down to the 10th one, which is, you shall not covet. And the Catholics have split that in two, so they can have 10 commandments, and it looks like that they are teaching the 10 commandments of the Bible. Not true. Absolutely not true. Now, let's come to the book of Acts. Acts 13, because this is quite a very interesting one in the ministry of the Apostle Paul. Acts 13, because you know, the Apostle Paul was the apostle to the Gentiles, but he also went to the Jews first and then the Gentiles, so he would go in to the synagogue of the Jews. And here in this case, in Acts the 13th chapter, he came to Antioch, a Pisidia, and went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and sat down. So let's look at this account here and let's see, because at the end of it, we find that Paul commanded the Gentiles to come the next Sabbath. That should have been a perfect opportunity for him to say, well, since all the Jews have rejected this, you come tomorrow, because God has said that we're going to all do this on Sunday. That's a New Testament day. And as a lot of stupid preachers like to say, this is the day that God has created. So, after the reading of the law and the prophets, then Paul was asked to speak. And he was telling them then, after all the history, he quotes the psalm where it tells about Christ coming in the flesh. Verse 33, as it is also written in the second psalm, you are my son, this day I have begotten you. and to confirm that he raised him from the dead, no more to return to corruption, he spoke in this manner, I will give you the faithful mercies of David. According as he also says in another place, notice what Paul preached, the Scriptures, the Word of God. And remember this, the New Testament was not available at this time. They preached the gospel from all of the prophecies in the Old Testament about Christ and his ministry and what he would do. Okay, so this is exactly what he's doing. Verse 35, accordingly, he also says in another place, you will not allow your Holy One to see corruption. And David, after ministering to his own generation by the counsel of God, died and was buried with his fathers and saw corruption. But the one whom God raised up did not see corruption. That is Jesus Christ. So then he tells, now this is important because this is a time when there was a transition from the old covenant to the new covenant. The new covenant was instituted by Jesus Christ on the last Passover that he kept with his apostles. Now here is the preaching going out to the Gentiles. Verse 38, therefore, be it known to you, men and brethren, all you Jews and God-fearers in the synagogue here, that through this man, the remission of sins is preached to you, and in him, everyone who believes is justified from all things from which he could not be justified by the law of Moses. Take heed, therefore, lest that which is spoken by the prophet come upon you. And you let that ring in your ears too, because the words of the prophet are still in full effect today. Now listen carefully. Behold, you despisers, and wonder, and perish. Isn't that what has happened to human beings who despise God? For I work a work in your days, a work you will in no way believe, even if one declares it to you. And when the Jews had gone out of the synagogue, the Gentiles entreated him that these words might be spoken to them the next Sabbath. So Paul didn't say, oh, now you Gentiles, you got it all wrong. You don't have to wait till the next Sabbath. You come back tomorrow, and we'll set up a church over here in the corner. Oh, he didn't say that. Okay. Might be spoken to them the next Sabbath. So they were keeping the Sabbath too. Now, verse 44, and on the coming Sabbath, almost the whole city was gathered together to hear the word of God. Now, let's look at verse 43. Now, after the synagogue had been dismissed, many of the Jews and the proselytes who worshipped there followed Paul and Barnabas, who, speaking to them, persuaded them to continue in the grace of God. Now, think about that. Sabbath keeping and the grace of God go hand in hand. Grace does not eliminate Sabbath keeping. Let's come to Acts, the 10th chapter. Now, you remember how we covered the traditions of the Jews and how that they left the Word of God to keep their traditions. And they developed a whole religion, supposedly based on the Word of God. And what it was a fence around the Word of God rather than getting into the Word of God. And it kept people from knowing the Word of God. And they got so extreme that they said in their traditions that a Jew is not allowed to keep company of a Gentile. Now let's come to Acts, the 10th chapter, because we find that an Italian centurion who was a Gentile, uncircumcised, was praying to God. And his prayer was heard, and God sent an angel to him and said, Now, you go over here to Joppa and you get one who is called Simon Peter. So he went over there and God led him to understand that he was to go with the three soldiers that the centurion set over there to bring Peter back to his household.
And on the next day, about the sixth hour, as these were journeying and approaching the city, Peter went up on the housetop to pray. And he became very hungry and desired to eat. But while they were preparing the meal, a trance fell upon him.
Peter saw in vision all kinds of unclean animals, and he was told in this vision to take and eat. And he said, "No, Lord, I've never eaten anything common or unclean." And he thought that that had to do with food. But that was a vision that God was giving him to show, as we'll see, that he should call no man common or unclean. So let's read it here. Acts 10, verse 25. "And as Peter was coming in, Cornelius met him and fell at his feet, worshiping him." What a great opportunity for this Italian to be so dedicated and say, "Oh, Papa, Papa, the first pope." He didn't do that. Notice what Peter did. "And Peter raised him up, saying, 'Stand up, for I myself am also a man.'" Because some of the teachings of the Jewish religion are that some men are not really men. "And as he was talking with them, he went in and found many gathered together. And he said to them, 'You know that it is an unlawful thing for a man who is a Jew.'" This is a Jewish tradition, a Jewish law, not a law of God. Because you read in the Old Testament that the stranger could be circumcised, he could partake of the Passover, he was to keep the Sabbath, he was to obey the laws of God and be given equal status with the children of Israel. But the Jews changed that and says it's unlawful to even be with a Gentile anywhere.
Can we speak, can I ask you some questions?
About what?
About politics? A little bit.
No.
I'd love to hear your thoughts on the current conflict. With everything that's happening, it's all an illusion?
Yes.
Yeah. Wow, that guy is one of the greatest optimists I've ever seen. How you doing? Can I ask you a couple questions?
Yeah.
Yep. So somebody just threw a water balloon at us. And now there's a crowd gathering. Because they're going to, they're saying that they're going to chase us away, and they're gathering numbers now. So there's a big flock of people that's going to chase us. Yeah. So I'm not allowed to talk to anybody in the country? I'd say we're not very wanted around here. It's no joke.
Go off. Go off.
I'm going to my
go
car.
Off.
I'm going to my
go
car. Yeah.
Jewish.
I'm going to my car.
To associate with or come near to anyone of another race. But God has shown me that no man should be called common or unclean. For this reason, I came without objection when I was sent for. I asked therefore, what purpose did you send for me? Then Cornelius said, explained about the angel and said, we want to hear the word of God. So Peter began speaking about the word of God and went on for quite a while. Then all of a sudden, the Holy Spirit came on all of those who were assembled there. Gentiles, uncircumcised, completely unthinkable to Jewish tradition. And then because that happened, verse 34, and Peter opened his mouth and said, "Of a truth I perceive that God is not a respecter of persons, but in every nation the one who fears him and works righteousness, which is commandment keeping, is acceptable to him." Down here to verse 44. "And while Peter was still speaking these words, the Holy Spirit came upon all those who were listening to the message, and the believers from the circumcision were astonished." Now, why? Because the first 12 years up to this point, the gospel was only preached to the Jews. Now, here it begins with the Gentiles, and here are all of those who are of the circumcision from Jerusalem coming with Peter, and they saw this, and they were totally astonished. They didn't know what to make of this. "That upon the Gentiles the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out, and they heard them speak with other languages and magnify God. Then Peter responded by saying, 'Can anyone forbid water that these should not be baptized who have also received the Holy Spirit as we did?' So then, he commanded them to be baptized." So here are these other six that went with him. Now, they're baptizing them right in Cornelius's house. Now, this caused a great uproar. We won't get into that. But the fact is here that God deals with people directly. See? And Dan calls them. But the question is, are you willing to answer the call? That's why you need this book, From a Speck of Dust to a Son of God. Why were you born? Why did God create human beings made in his image, male and female? And what is God's plan? And what is God's purpose? And how is it all going to come about? And what is it that God wants you to become? Well, you need that book. You're going to find that that is an astonishing thing, as revealed in the New Testament. So I hope this helps you understand that the commandments of God are the way that God gave them. No man can change them, but they can change the laws or reject the laws of Judaism and reject the laws of Gentile pagan religion. That's why you need the book, The Two Babylons, because it will show you how the Catholic Church brought in all of the pagan worship of all of the religions of the Gentiles of the world.
Tomorrow night, dozens of kids will be pounding the pavement for candy. Happy Halloween! But the holiday most known for scary witches and frightening monsters is actually a Catholic holiday.
Halloween was started as a way to complement All Saints Day and All Souls Day.
Father James Cunningham is a Halloween expert, donning costumes every year to hand out candy to the kids of Bell Harbor, Queens. He says to understand how Halloween came to be, you first need to look at All Saints Day.
You know, All Saints Day was mentioned by St. Ephrem in 373, first time, but then didn't become a feast of the church until the 8th century.
It was Pope Gregory III who encouraged priests to celebrate the Holy Day of Obligation after he consecrated a chapel to all martyrs. The feast following it, All Souls Day, wouldn't begin until nearly three centuries later.
All Souls Day was added so that we could remember all the faithfully departed.
Specifically, those whose souls are in purgatory. With the church celebrating the souls of those in heaven and in purgatory, one group posed a question.
Irish pagans who experienced conversion in their lives and said, if we're going to celebrate the saints and we're going to celebrate all the souls,
why not pray for the souls in hell? Thus, All Hallows Eve was born.
And you need that book, especially if you are a Catholic or ex-Catholic, because you need to understand why it has gone so bad. So once again, thank you for inviting me into your home. So until next time, this is Fred Coulter saying, be sure and see our other website, truthofgod.org. Next time, so long, everyone.